knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you, sir.
What's up?
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is I am, as people know on the streets, I am drawn towards the monstrosity, the novelty of particularly fast food type arrangements.
Indeed.
And I found what may be one of the wilder ones in a while.
Okay.
Over at the old Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I have not heard of anything going on.
Have you heard of the chitza?
I have not. What? It's a chicken pizza from Kentucky Fried Chicken? What are you fucking talking about? You shut your mouth, sir.
It's a pizza where the crust is chicken.
No.
Yes.
No.
But it's not like you imagine. It's not like giant. It's just like a piece of chicken with sauce, cheese, and pepperoni on it.
Right.
And, of course.
It's like a little personal pan pizza.
Yep. Once I heard about this, there was no stopping me.
Yeah, you were already in the lobby. Yeah.
And so I tried it. It's fine.
It's
exactly what you think it would be.
It's exactly what you think it would be.
Basically like a chicken parmesan, basically, but you're eating it by hand, and I don't know. The one I got, they forgot to put cheese on it, so it was even like... But it didn't hurt it that much, honestly.
I imagine it would.
Really the business end of it is the pizza sauce on the chicken.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah, it's pizza sauce on chicken. You can go home and make that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give it a B. It's not nearly as crazy as the idea and the name chitza is.
See, I think the chitza is what... The chitza's imagery is never... You're never going to live up to the imagery that you immediately get when you think chitza, because I immediately see a big pizza pie with a fucking full-ass fried chicken on top of it.
You have, with KFC, I think, too, they have such a legacy with the bowl, the famous bowl.
Sure.
And then the double down.
Double down.
You have these absurd, what the fuck are you thinking kind
of
things.
Medic.
I think that this is not going to reach that level. Because on its face, it looks crazy, but it's not really that crazy.
Nah.
A sandwich where the bread is chicken is crazy.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
That's still unacceptable to me years later.
Yeah. This is just kind of like, meh, it's fine. It'll wear out its own momentum.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Sure.
Love it.
You were just talking about mini games where you get to become a little guy
earlier, right before
we started recording.
You get to do any number. You can criticize it in a lot of ways, and I've seen people do that.
Sure.
But what they can't criticize it for is that it's just so goddamn much fun. It's just so much fun. Every time I want to not be there, I go, let me go back in. Yeah, it's just so much fun.
Every time you want out, they pull you back in.
They pull me
it's
back
like the
in.
The mob.
Oh, I got to go somewhere. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. No, I do not.
Well, obviously, congratulations.
It's great.
I know that it was a big thing for you looking forward to it, and I'm glad it's paid off.
It really did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, nothing more to say, really.
I mean,
it's great.
Yeah, it is, you know, let's just enjoy a situation where you go, I hope this thing's good, and then it's great, and you go, great.
Hope it doesn't have third act problems.
Yeah, listen, it will.
Okay.
Because the third act is in another disc or another game.
This is
the middle bit.
Oh, boy.
Yup.
I don't know why you put up with that. That's an abusive structure.
You're asking me.
Well, I hope you continue to enjoy.
Me too.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Yes.
And it's the payoff of Alex's secret mission.
Is it really?
We get to find out what Alex's secret mission was.
Well,
we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
oh
I'm
my
not,
God.
I'm
See?
Not, no one, you don't trust me. I understand that there's a lot of rug pulling that goes on, but I deserve it.
Okay.
But look,
all right.
What do you think it was?
I want to say it's got to be a podcaster. I want to say, did he do the shirtless guys? What is it called? The no hockey, no, the podcast.
Bert Kreischer, the shirtless
guy? No, the podcast where they talk about sports, that he was on, that he got super drunk and they made fun of him. Was this years ago? Did I make this up?
You might have made this up.
No sports.
Rogan?
No. God damn. No.
Flagrant 2?
Yes. Oh. Flagrant 2. That's a sports thing, right?
I don't think it is. Well, maybe it's flagrant foul.
Flagrant foul. Yes.
No, I guess it is. I didn't think about it that way because I don't think they talk. The episodes that I've seen have not been sports related.
What?
Because it's like Alex. But he did get shirtless and get really fucked up.
Okay.
And they did make fun of him.
All right. So, okay.
So, yeah, you are correct on that. I just didn't associate that with sports. Yeah, but maybe that's on me. It's my fault.
No. It's just the only thing that I can think of.
There's some other podcasts that he's been on in the past, like Sam Tripoli, his podcast.
Okay. What's up with the trips?
I don't know. I haven't checked in on him. I bet it's not great.
Probably not.
So I'm going to tell you he was not on Flagrant 2.
Okay.
Do you have any other guesses?
Well, I mean, fuck it. Tucker. Was he on Tucker?
Man.
Oh, shit, he was on Tucker.
Man. I thought I was hoping we'd get a couple more bad guesses before we hit it. I was hoping we'd get to, like, Bank Heist or something. Yeah, he was hanging out with Tucker.
I was thinking it could go so many different directions that I was like, let's just take the biggest swing first. God damn. Wow.
They did the live response to the State of the Union, to Biden's State of the Union.
Wait, what?
On Tucker Carlson Network, he did a video where he did a after the State of the Union thing, Alex was one of his two guests.
Oh, wow.
So Alex got
to... Okay. That would make more sense because I assumed that I would hear about it. You know, like the last time he was on Tucker, I didn't know that he was going to be, but like I saw news about it.
Yeah.
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 This time I had no idea.
Nope.
That's not good.
Don't think it got nearly as much traction as the last time, for sure. Yeah. And I think part of that is because it's like, hey, you know what's interesting? The door being opened.
Yeah.
You know, it's not interesting. The door is just still open.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that because there's a couple elements to that I think is really weird. Because I think it's maybe more important news that he's continuing to buddy around with Alex.
Yeah.
Because the first one, you could be like, this is a desperate cash grab of some sort. This is attention. Alex is hot in the sort of quote-unquote subversive circles. Shitheads on Twitter. So it could be like, hey, I'm making the most out of this by associating myself with him. But now it's like, no, you really want to associate with this guy. This is...
Yeah.
You're not just exploiting the situation, it appears. It appears like you really think that he's got the goods. And that's that to me is a little bit more troubling.
Yeah, that does suggest, like, either we have no concept of what has legs or no one does. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't imagine thinking, if I'm Tucker, thinking like, oh, yeah, Alex, this isn't a terrible wagon to hitch to, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know if it actually is. I mean, like, Alex is about to probably have his life destroyed by the courts.
Right.
And you might be able to buy low.
So yeah, that's fair.
If you're somebody like Tucker who has the Tucker Carlson Network,
sure.
Maybe you see somebody whose life is about to be torpedoed and like his business destroyed. You'd be like, well, that's a fucking free agent who's going to need something. It wouldn't. Yeah. It doesn't make the least sense to try and like swing in there.
Yeah, that is such a good point. Because
Alex is a money making proven commodity over decades.
Wow.
You know, if you're somebody who's like, hey, all right. My rule, don't get me sued. Do whatever you want. I don't give a shit. Make me money.
That's funny because we joked about, you know, like Tucker joining InfoWars. The idea of Alex becoming working for Tucker as a...
Hey, Alex Jones here for the Tucker Carlson Network.
That sounds crazy. That sounds... I don't know if he could do... I don't know if he could fully work for somebody else. Do you think?
It would lead to tension as soon as Tucker wasn't sort of
on board with whatever it is he just did.
As soon as he gives some indication that he's a little globalist-y, there could be trouble.
I don't know
if that's exactly what's happening, but that could be some kind of an explanation for why it appears that he thinks there's legs there. But I would offer a counter proposal, and that is that maybe we underestimate how nuts Tucker is.
It's possible.
I think that there is a chance that because he presents himself as much more sane and normal, and I was on Fox News and I wore a bow tie for years. That you have like, oh, you're not, you don't actually think that you're being chased by demons, right?
Right. Maybe I mean, condescension does go a long way towards disguising whether or not you're insane.
Yeah.
But I feel like, man, if you successfully nab an interview with Putin while he's doing Putin shit,
mm-hmm.
if you're just crazy, man, that's, I don't know if I can hang with that.
Well, I think even if you are crazy and you're Tucker, you have some people around you who maybe aren't as crazy.
Yeah,
and maybe they handle a little bit of the
the
admin.
Yeah, maybe the people behind the scenes, behind, like directly behind these media people are actually really geniuses in terms of just being able to like point them in the right direction.
I mean, from a sort of crass money-making standpoint, they know what they're doing.
It does seem that way.
So we're going to get into Tucker and Alex talking about the... talking about the State of the Union.
What is there to talk about?
There's not much. I mean, there are, in the real world, there is some stuff. But instead, they go broad with things. And so we'll get down to business on that. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, what did one hat say to the other hat? You stay here and I'll go on ahead. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I want a world where any people can grow their own food and weed and protect it with their own guns on their land with children they may or may not abort for whichever religious or moral reason they choose. Is that too much to ask? Submitted by Rabels McCall, Idaho. Not Ohio. Idaho. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, last podcast on the left's Research Goblin. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your public service, Celia. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So ooh, thank you so much to Pink Panda Hugs. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So we jump in, and we're not even going to bother with the first half of the Tucker's response episode because Alex jumps in at the midway point.
Oh, okay.
And so here Tucker gives the introduction to Alex, and they ruminate on why must Biden lie so much.
So we are honored to invite into the studio for the first time to respond live Alex Jones, who has a different, more holistic view of what we're seeing. The great Alex Jones, who needs no...
I'm sorry?
One of the most famous people in American media.
I can do as good as you, but I'm blessed to be here. Great crew, great people, great to be here with you.
So what, I mean, just give me your big picture assessment of that.
I gotta say, because we didn't even meet before we went on air, I was downstairs writing notes, and you basically said everything I was going to say, and so did the doctor. But you asked him a question out of the gates. You said, why do they lie so much? Do they think we're dumb, or what's going on?
Yeah.
They want to tell so many lies that you don't have time to counter them all, because it would take 5 hours to counter all that. I mean,
I gave up in my note taking.
Yeah, everything was a lie. And I mean, the biggest one was like, yeah, this woman got killed by a legal alien. We're trying to stop that. I want to shut down the border. He said, when I win, immediately surge the border. And then they had the big NGOs, the State Department that funds the UN NGOs, have all the illegals come up here. They have UN camps in South America and Central America and in Mexico. And he's running it all. He says, come here. They show up by the thousands in Biden shirts. So he's like, I'm so sad. The illegal aliens are killing you. And many of them are convicted felons, a large portion. And then he's acting dumb and saying, oh, no, I'm really sad. Illegal aliens are raping and murdering citizens. So just that little window there, he's playing the good cop to his own globalist policies.
So this is a good example of the people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones kind of moment. Mm. Without like saying that folks like Biden just tell so many lies because they know that folks that are trying to rebut them can't keep up. Alex is probably the person most guilty of using those rhetorical tactics, and in fact, immediately engages in that exact same behavior after accusing Biden of it.
100%.
Biden didn't tell everyone to surge the border. Trump had made it prohibitively difficult for anyone to apply for asylum or refugee status, and Biden was saying that when he became president, these people should know that they're welcome to come here. Alex thinks that any non-white immigration is an attack, so he hears that Biden saying that kind of thing as a battle cry. The woman who Alex is referring to is a 22-year-old from Georgia named Lakin Riley. A man from Venezuela who'd entered the country illegally has been charged with her murder, and she's become a political symbol in recent days for the xenophobic right-wing folks, particularly Marjorie Taylor Greene, who interrupted the State of the Union speech to yell, "Say her name," at Biden.
Really?
Yep. All murder is tragic and unnecessary, but the way that this case is being used as a means to push legislation that's meant to demonize immigrants is a bit scary. When you think of who has the least credible voice on issues like this, Alex Jones is way up at the top. All you need to do is go back and view his coverage of the death of Kate Steinle to see how he brings intense levels of his own personal white victimhood feelings into this kind of news commentary, and he is instantly disqualified. Steinle's death was entirely accidental, but Alex turned it into a story where this non-white immigrant was so jealous of how beautiful Steinle was and so mad that he couldn't have her that he killed her. Unless media outlets and politicians engage in this much white victimhood pandering in their coverage of these issues, Alex will accuse them of supporting a migrant invasion of the country because he's not a person who engages with this stuff seriously, and it's all based in this white fear that he has.
Yeah.
And to pretend that he has a leg to stand on here is ridiculous.
No, I mean, it almost makes you want to, like... I mean, what do you do? How do you react, honestly? Like, how do you react when somebody is like, "Oh, I hate it when people do this," and then their next words are the thing they hate?
Well, if I didn't do a show about him, I probably would just be like, "I'm out."
Like, it does feel like that is such a, like the emotional reaction to that seems almost like indescribable to me, because it is so much like, I feel like an action is required at that point. You know,
An action could be checking out, you know, action could just be like, "Oh, I see what you're doing.
Totally.
I'm good.
Absolutely.
I'm good. We're not going to be able to get to the bottom of this."
Yeah. You can't like argue with somebody, you know, like you can't talk to somebody. You can't be like, "Aha, you just did that," because they know.
Mm-hmm.
They have to know.
Right.
And then, if they don't know,
and then they'll say, "No, I'm not." And then
exactly.
Do it again.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great.
So Alex starts to assess the speech, and I get the sense that he might have had a couple of Tito's.
Mm.
First he comes out and says Trump is Hitler, and then he moves on to Ukraine. So it's not about the dying cities, not about the fentanyl and the needles and the illegal aliens everywhere and the homeless everywhere. It's all about Ukraine, because that's their big model to distract us and also launder money. So this is a very, very dangerous moment for America. And your last guest was dead on. He and the whole establishment is so emblematic of a rotting, collapsing facade that knows the people have turned against it, and it's just pure rage. All the fakeness, all of the pop and serpent stance has been stripped away.
Sure.
And now there's just this seething, ancient dinosaur. In fact, I was watching, you know, earlier during the State of the Union, and then sitting here watching earlier, I was thinking, how do I start this? I want to say, it's like we're in a time machine looking back on the age of the dinosaurs, the Paleolithic or something, I mean, we're looking back because time is compressed now. So we're here looking at a dying, corrupt, dead political empire that hates America and is trying to use our power to take over the world, and it's already gone. The world's turning against it. The Great Awakening's here. All the numbers show it. And they're trying to hang on. And so we're looking back at Jurassic Park. We're looking back at the dinosaurs. But instead, the dinosaurs are trying to claw us back into hell. I mean, take World War II.
Please. Okay.
Take World War II. It's like, where are the dinosaurs? Triassic. Anyways, Jurassic Park. Take World War II for me. Wild.
Biden didn't say that Trump was Hitler. And I guess Alex is pretending all that stuff about the Hunter Biden intel being fake didn't... He's just pretending that didn't happen?
Didn't happen.
So that was a bit all over the place. And I know that Alex and his friends like to call the mainstream media the dinosaur media, but I'm a little worried he dug too deep with that swing. Might have blown out his shoulder.
Mm.
Also, Jurassic Park was in the present day.
Yeah.
That's not a time machine thing. That's... bringing the past to the present.
That was the idea.
It's a little bit. Yeah. Anyway, if I'm Tucker, I might be worried that Alex might get him to prank call Brian Stelter at some point.
It does feel that way.
And that's kind of something that goes throughout this, is that Tucker barely says anything. It is just like, wind up Alex and let him go for like 3 minutes without taking a breath. It's wild.
There is something to be said about having one of those, sound machines, but it's free. And you just it's voice activated, really.
It's an easy day at the office. Bring in Alex, hit the button.
Siri, make fart noises for the radio. That is, yeah, that makes sense.
Say something about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
This piratical assemblage of dinosaurs.
Absolutely, yeah. We got a seething ancient dinosaur, which I appreciate. Because that makes me feel like there's one of those like later dinosaurs, you know, like Triassic looking at Cretaceous like, man, that dude, fucking, he's pissed. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I like that, yeah.
So take World War II. Should.
What about it?
So we're looking back at Jurassic Park. We're looking back at the dinosaurs. But instead, the dinosaurs are trying to claw us back into hell. I mean, take World War II. Operation Valkyrie was the German general staff, who were Nazis and bad guys, but they were like, we're going to lose the Russians. We're going to lose the Americans. We're going to lose the Allies. A year and a half before the war ended, let's kill Hitler. But they failed. It's the same thing.
It's the same
as... The globalist program has failed, but they're thinking, well, if we just enslave people and arrest people and do all this, they'll shut up and go away. The New World Order has already failed. The question is, when Hitler knew he was going to lose, he wrote and said, if the Germans fail on the Eastern Front with the Russians, all the Germans deserve to die. They failed and they're weak. And so he flooded the German subways. He let the whole Russian army come in. 25 million Germans died. 26 million Russians died. Most of World War II was the Russians and the Nazis killing each other. And so it's kind of that same thing. The left saying, if we're going down, we're taking you all with us. And then we have Klaus Schwab saying, you will eat bugs. We have Tyson Foods saying, we're moving in with crickets as the main batter for your chicken and everything else. I mean, they're really, you've all know Harari was on late night comedy just last night. And he's like, yeah,
just late night comedy
is over.
What is happening? That is so incoherent. The through line is almost impossible to follow, and then it ends with boutique talking points about Klaus Schwab making you eat bugs and Yuval Noah Harari being on some
late night comedy. He was on late night comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yuval Herrera. He was on late night comedy the other day. You know that that means that the globalists have failed, like in Operation Valkyrie.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I know the Nazis were bad, but they were trying to kill Hitler, which, you know, Hitler killed Hitler, so maybe Hitler was a good guy.
Interesting
theory.
What
the fuck are you talking about?
So you remember a few minutes ago when Alex was complaining about people rattling off a ton of stuff?
Is that what he was doing? I don't remember. He rattled off too much shit in the meantime.
Maybe a little bit. So in this case, if we're trying to track what he's saying...
Is that what we're trying to do?
Well... So the globalists are Hitler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so does he want people to do Operation Valkyrie on the globalists?
I thought the globalists were doing Operation Valkyrie, but failing at it?
See, there's a lot of ways to read this. It's not very...
Well, because obviously Operation Valkyrie didn't kill Hitler.
True.
So the comparison can't be like, well, it's just like when Operation Valkyrie successfully killed Hitler.
Mm. Well, see, here's the thing. Most of what he's talking about is this idea that Hitler was trying to drag down the people with him.
Right.
But that doesn't apply to Operation Valkyrie.
No.
That is...
Hitler is not involved in that, in fact.
Well, he was the target.
Beyond being the target of that, yes.
Thematically, there's a disconnect between these two things.
Right.
And it's weird that the brain is jumping around like that.
It is strange.
Also, Tyson is not making cricket protein the main batter for chicken.
Can they even do that? Is that even a thing you can do for Tyson?
In theory, they could, I guess.
I know they
not.
Sell battered chicken, but I mean, you know.
What happened here is that they've invested in a company called Protix that works with insect-based protein. A major aspect of their partnership is to use the animal waste created by Tyson production to feed insects that are raised by Protix, who would then be used in pet and fish food. The reporting on this stuff is really clear that it's not going to be anything that's involved with human food, but Alex knows that the optics are here, and he's popularized the idiotic "you will eat the bugs" catchphrase, so he can pass this lie off on Tucker and his audience.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Also, there may be a little bit of that World War II stuff that may not be fully concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit.
Possible. Here's what frustrates me, because I feel like everyone should be able to see where we are, where we were, and then make like predictions about where we'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, seeing where we are I think it's easy to assume that conservative lunatics like Alex will be the first people to embrace eating bugs, right? Like, that, like they can't. They, you can't be the guys who are like, "Hey, we can't have computer chips inside people," and then be the guys who are like, "We, oh, they're finally doing it. We're finally gonna get a computer chip inside of us." You can't be both.
Well, they are,
unless you are, and then you're gonna be the first people to eat the fucking bugs too.
Well, but
so just eat the bugs, man.
But also, if some hardened survivalist type was like, "If you want to survive when the shit goes down, you're gonna eat the bugs.
They're gonna eat the bugs."
But this would all be entirely different.
Oh my god.
It is a little bit silly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in this next clip, Alex complains about leftists who apparently aren't as good as German soldiers during World War II.
That is true. Where we're at.
They're trying to claw us down to hell with them.
It does almost seem like, I mean, flirting with nuclear war, which they are doing on multiple fronts with no plan whatsoever at all. We're going to finish the job. They never explained what the job was. That's suicidal. I mean, it's not right. It's not going to help them.
It's psychotic.
It is psychotic. So it does feel like the leaders of the society are trying to destroy the society.
And again, I go back to Hitler, who in his own writings, this is not, in my opinion, he's like, the Germans deserve to die, so we're just going to stand here at Berlin. And they're like, sir, the Russians have entered the subways, flood it. And they go, sir, we've got a million Germans, families, children in the subways. He said, they deserve to die. So the left is not giving up because they're disconnected from reality. Unlike German soldiers who were fighting for an evil force, but they were at least fighting. The left live in high-rise apartments. They're disconnected from reality. And to them, it's all like a video game. And they don't realize, as you were just saying, Macron 3 weeks ago, yeah, we're going to have a national draft. We may have to send troops in to fight the Russians directly. The British Ministry of Defense, the Swedish Ministry of Defense, NATO officially. Yeah. And you've got Sean Penn saying, you know, we shouldn't have nuclear war off the table. It's survivable. What does he know about nuclear war? And it so you can see it. It is a...
Sean Penn said nuclear war is survivable?
If you look it up, he's like, the quote's basically, a lot of people say we shouldn't use nuclear weapons in Ukraine or against the Russians. Well, we shouldn't take that off the table. And so that's the mindset of these people. To them, it's like a video game.
Whew. So that stuff about NATO and all that is not true.
Yeah.
Also, I would suggest that Tucker is somebody who probably should have every reason to understand what finishing the job means in terms of the Ukraine war.
Yeah.
He went and interviewed Putin.
You'd think.
He has to have some awareness of the issues here. He's playing dumb, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But also, it was like last year, Sean Penn was interviewed by Hannity, and he said that nuclear war was horrible, it was an outcome no one wants, but we should rethink how we operate if only bully countries like Putin's Russia are allowed to threaten to use them.
Right.
It's a bad, like, way to articulate the point, but it was a point more about the uneven playing field that favors bad actors.
Right.
But you framed it poorly, and I can understand how Alex wants to pretend that he said we should fucking nuke people.
Right.
It's a little bit of a misrepresentation, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, it's either you're either gonna use nuclear weapons and we all die, which is fine. If we all die, it's fine.
Go ahead and just put in my disagreement.
No, okay. I understand that. But I mean, if like 90% of people die and then 10% of people left, then they have to like acknowledge it.
They're going to eat the bugs.
It's horrifying. You know, it's terrible. But if everybody dies, nobody has to deal with it later. You know, it's just over. Right?
Sure.
I would prefer it to just be over than to like drag it out forever and ever and ever as people suffer and die radioactive poisoning. So the idea of using like just one bomb, that's just not going to happen. Once you shoot one, you're going to shoot them all.
Okay. I don't know if that's true, but I would like you to debate Sean Penn.
I'm just saying, once you shoot one, you got to shoot them all. Otherwise, it's going to be miserable.
It's not like Pringles.
It's just miserable. It's going to be miserable for everybody if you don't get rid of everybody, you know?
Okay. I think that this mentality is how you end up in a situation where everybody launches everything.
I mean, mutually assured destruction is a promise, really.
Mm. To you. To you. So, Alex, he watched the State of the Union, and he was bewildered because he doesn't watch media much, which I found surprising.
Sorry?
Mainstream media's collapsed. I mean, CNN's top show, 100,000 viewers. I was down there in your studio entrance watching this during the before we went live, and I was writing notes, and I was like, I haven't watched this in years. And again, I was like studying.
I
was like an anthropologist, like studying some ancient tribe that died and watching them all. Well, he's old, but he's really smart, and he's great. And they would all like these talking points regurgitating him. And I was like, but I get it, because unlike an ancient tribe that died 10,000 years ago, they're still in control of nuclear weapons, so we need to study them.
So nicely put.
So well put. So Alex shouldn't be saying that he hasn't watched this stuff in years, because the whole premise of his show is that he watches the media and he's able to read between the lines of their reporting to tell what the globalist plans are. If he's saying he hasn't watched this stuff in a long time for years, it really raises the question of what he's been gleaning his information from, and the answer to that is very obvious. Stupid right-wing memes and skimming headlines, same as ever. That is what his assessment is based on.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever they say stuff like that, where they think what I'm going to do is I'm going to add extra oomph to my idea that I'm about to present forth by saying I'm surprised at this because I haven't watched it in so long. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm adding extra oomph to the argument I'm making right now. Except for, you have to realize that you have been telling people for 30 years that you watch every single one of these.
Constantly,
you
constantly
are always
on that, reading everything,
you
studying all the time.
Always doing this.
Yeah.
So now to say that you haven't been doing this for years.
And like, you could be generous and be like, okay, he's talking about the State of the Union.
Yeah.
You covered it last year, dum-dum.
Exactly. You haven't listened to the last several State of the Union addresses, which means you covered things that you didn't cover.
And spoiler alert, he didn't probably even watch the full ones of Trump's.
Of course not.
Just took the clips that were popular in those memes and shit.
Yep.
So look, honesty is important. We know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Especially to these dishonest folks.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
If the hallmark of evil is deception, I think we can say that we're looking at evil. I mean, if the basis of your entire program is a lie, it's not just spinning it a little bit, it's a lie. It's like, it's the inversion of the truth.
And they know it's a lie.
Then, I mean, isn't that evil? What's the other definition?
Well, that's really it. We have to realize evil is lying.
Oh.
Like in your own life. I get older, I lied when I was a kid. I lied someone when I was an adult. As I get older, lies have consequences. My whole life is now about not ever telling them.
Yes.
Like catching myself, being honest.
Wow.
My wife's like, you look at that girl? Yeah, I am. Sorry. Instead of like, oh, no, I'm not. Because your mind gets trained to be accurate when you stop lying.
Yes.
Instead, when you lie, it's a disease. And then it takes you over. And these people are literally cancer. And they can
you
find
just
all
lie.
This fodder and all these mercenaries that will read their talking points. But as negative as it is, Tucker, you know this, what, 3-4% have taken the new booster shots? And when they rolled the first shot, it was like 70%. People are rejecting it. But there's the converse of that. The dying establishment, like when a woman tries to leave a man that's beating her, they're going to try to break our jaw in the parking lot. We're trying to get the car. They're trying to keep us from escaping. And so we're at that point. We're trying to get the station wagon with the kids. We're trying to pile them in. And, you know, the drunk mean, you know, is right there punching us in the face. But at the end,
is that a personal story?
We're getting out of Dodge. We're leaving Egypt. We're going on to the promised land here. And it's going to take, you know, that archetype of the promised land. It's going to take 40 years or whatever out in the wilderness, but at least we're not going to be slaves anymore. So we're in that process of emancipation right now. They're pissed. They're freaking out because they want control. Any fulfilled person is out fishing or hunting or hanging with family like you and I are. There's a beautiful sunset. We're having a great dinner, playing with our dogs, our cats, our kids. These people are not fulfilled. They don't have that. If you study globalists, they are the most empty.
Mm.
You look at Soros or Alexander Soros. I mean, they have nothing. So they're projecting their hatred, just like a Hitler or a Stalin or a Lenin, on us. We've got to realize they are mentally ill, they are sick, they are cancer, they're malfunctioning. We don't hate them. We just politically cut them out and separate them from the rest of society. And we're at that point right now of the surgery. America and the world's going under the knife, and let's hope and pray that it's a successful surgery. Because if it's not, World War III.
It's just amazing that they tried to cancel you. And what you just said, even if, you know, people don't agree with it ever, it's so much more interesting and smart than anything ever uttered on CNN or MSNBC. And I worked at those channels, so I know for a fact. So.
It's so smart. It's so much more smart and interesting than anything.
Okay. Okay, I'll take him at face value.
Sure.
If that is true, then Alex Jones needs to be arrested for threatening to commit genocide. I mean, if that's what you, if you want to say that Alex is smart, Tucker, then you just realize that he like threatened to commit genocide as a political position.
How so?
You don't understand the whole cutting things out with a knife part?
Well,
and if not, World War III?
Well, maybe.
So if that's something very smart, fine. I will say to you, Tucker, agreed. That is very smart. Uh-huh. Now put him in jail for good, because he can't be here.
Well, I mean, I do think that there's something very interesting about the names that he chose being Soros and Soros' son. Do you think there's something there?
What I mean, there's. I assume they just share a name. There's no specific thing that they might share that might be a particular thing that sets them off.
No, certainly not something about their name being sort of a decades-long buzzword of anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
and,
definitely not.
Nah.
Definitely not something they want to excise out of society because it's a cancer. Those words have never been used before to describe things pre-genocide.
So the important thing is truth. They don't lie. Yeah, Alex doesn't lie.
I mean, that's fine. Fine. Then somebody take them at face value and put Alex in jail for that shit. I don't know what to tell you.
I do think that if you want to play this game where it's like I don't lie about anything, then you need to now be responsible for the things that you've
said.
And all of the things that weren't lies.
Agreed.
We will take you like fundamentally seriously.
Yeah.
And you don't even get to speak metaphorically anymore.
Yeah, now,
you can't do that politically murder
it's
you
gone.
Shit. You can't do any of that.
Yeah. Like, it does feel like that has to be the rule for some people of just like, you don't get to use words. Mm. You're irresponsible with them, and you can't be trusted to use them without hurting people.
Well, I think that the fun thing about this is that it's a lie. The not lying is a lie. And so that's how he evades any of that responsibility.
Right.
And society has just determined that we go along with it. Let this be.
It is like we would rather spend hours upon hours upon hours of our lives arguing over what is inside somebody's heart, whether or not they know they're lying, than just not care about whether or not they're lying and just go, your behavior requires this action.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Well,
doesn't matter what you feel about it.
Well, when you're talking about actions,
yep.
One of those actions that Alex doesn't take is lying.
Uh-oh.
So what's the experience, not to get sidetracked, but it was so interesting what you said about your commitment to just telling the truth. In your personal life and your professional life, what's the effect on you once you decide I'm going to really try not to lie at all ever?
Your brain is a powerful, all our brains are a powerful electrochemical computer. And so
I'm going to stop you right there.
So it's like AI. When they corrupt AI and give it some woke agenda, it doesn't work right. It messes up. You see the Gemini thing with Google, it messes the whole thing up. They wanted a little bit of erase the white people, not totally erase them. So it backfired down. Google's down 70 billion in market cap. Huge scandal because it's so ridiculous. So from my own research and studying mainline literature and scientific research on it, but I've already experienced it. So under the research, I went out and found that what I'd already experienced was real. When you tell your brain to lie or to not be honest, you're really lying to yourself. And then you start using all this brain capacity to figure out the lie and to then try to project things to cover up the lie. When you get into I'm at a neurotic level telling the truth. People, I go on the air and talk bad about myself and bad things. I do. People say, why is he doing that? Because the more I do it, the more my brain cleans out. And now it's just laser focused. And now I know things much clearer. And so it's like removing computer viruses. And so when you get to the point of just not lying, I mean, I used to tell lies every day. Leftists tell lies continually. The thing is, you go to the other extreme, all you do is tell lies. So right. when you start moving away from lies, you get to the point where, well, I told one lie this week, and that was terrible. Because it's robbing from you, not just people you're lying to. So I've gotten to the point of almost zero lying. And it's super empowering. And again, it's cleaning out your computer to where your brain can then operate, not worrying about telling lies. It can just say what's accurate.
That's amazing. I strongly sense that what you just said is the key to everything.
Strongly.
To tell the truth, period, no matter what.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The flashback to that clip of Tucker in an interview saying he lies when he's got his back to the corner and he needs to get out of a situation he's willing to lie. Oh, this is such bullshit.
This is
two dudes just jack it off.
It is. It is 100% like I cannot believe that your dick is so big. It's so big. How big is your dick? It's as big as mine. Look at us, the two biggest dicked men in the world.
They have no reason to do this other than to just sort of glorify each other. Yeah. And be like,
this is not entertaining.
No.
It's not informative.
No.
It's not
true.
It's definitely not true.
Yeah.
It is psychologically damaging. It is reality. It is gaslighting as a profession.
And it is like a real choice that Tucker is clearly making. Yeah. And that is to launder Alex and present him in this way that Alex wants to be presented, which to me indicates maybe that he wants him to be on his network.
Yeah.
Because this is how you would like try and get someone over, you know, if you want to try and cash in on him.
It does feel as though Tucker goes blah blah blah, and then Alex starts talking, and in Tucker's head is just like wow, Alex, that was amazing.
I feel like that's the key.
That is the smartest thing.
But also Tucker has some of his own little picadillos he needs to bring in.
Sure, absolutely.
Some of his own concerns.
Yeah.
Namely that there's a war on white people.
Oh, obvious.
Back to the behavior, the impulses, the motive of the people running things. Obviously they're incompetent, that's demonstrable, but they're also kind of monomaniacal. Like, they're very focused on certain hatreds, and just judging by what they say, their main hatred is for white people, who are the majority of the country. They talk about it constantly. They've set up a whole regime to punish white people on the basis of their skin color. You're not allowed to mention it. You're the racist. Okay, got it. But I don't think I've ever seen it on clearer display than in a now sort of famous MSNBC segment from last week. I hate to even play their garbage, but this is just so amazing. I have to play it for you.
Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. We provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism, and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or their bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence.
So there's so many things that are interesting about what those two pigs are saying on television. And the most interesting to me is that white rural voters are, of course, the weakest people in America.
Well, when rural people, period, are the
rural people,
strongest.
Period. That's exactly right, regardless of race. But that none of the supposed crimes that he mentioned, whether they're true or not, are crimes of action. They're all thought crimes. And so they're the most dangerous people in the country, not because they're killing others or embezzling money or getting rich through the carried interest loophole or starting wars, pushing people in front of subway trains. They're the most dangerous because they have thoughts that those two pigs don't like. It's so interesting.
Well, they're not crimes. These aren't crimes nor thought crimes. They're voting patterns that, I think we can all agree that was not a well-framed MSNBC piece.
Could be worse. Could be better.
Perhaps they don't come off great. But if the argument is this demographic group has a voting pattern that tends towards anti-democratic ideas,
yeah.
I think saying this is a threat to democracy, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I also think it's probably you should have rewritten that segment.
I mean,
it's not a war on white people.
It's not a war on white people. What I feel strongly about is that pigs is our word. All right.
Ooh, like for cops.
The right wing can't use pigs. They can't use pigs because the right wing is pigs. That's what pigs are. Mm. They're pigs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. That's what they've always been. Hippies. Till now, they're pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking beatniks. Till now, they're pigs. Fucking whatever. Flappers.
Mm.
Till now, they're pigs. All right.
So it is interesting, though, that you have this presentation that Tucker is making that is like they have a monomaniacal hatred of white people. And then there's a discussion of a specific demographic group of white people.
Sure.
Not all white people, white rural voters.
Right.
Which seems strange. Using this as evidence of a war on white people, it could be just as easily argued to be a war against rural folk.
Sure.
Or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I think that this is just
Does singling out a group of white people make it less racist? You know, because it's like, hey, it's not all white people. It's just this specific group that lives here.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's
in West Virginia for some reason.
There's talk of, you know, how well Trump does among white women voters.
Sure.
Is that racist or sexist?
Ah, boy.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't think so.
These days.
So it is also mostly about the rural voter idea. And Alex, you could hear that little bit of a disconnect between him and Tucker there where he's like, Tucker says the rural voter is weak. And Alex is like, the rural voter is the strongest.
You don't understand. The rural voter is my listener.
They're trying to sort of negotiate populism.
Sure,
within
sure.
the moment.
Yeah.
But it is all just an attack on the farmers, much like all communists have ever done.
And that's what it comes down to. If you remember in June of 2001, when Biden had just stolen the election, in my view, and gotten into power, he put out that national anti-terrorism perspective, national directive. And he said white supremacism is the number one threat. Then he defined white supremacism as questioning lockdowns or open borders or forced shots. And so it's real simple. That
this guy doesn't lie.
Talking point from 10 years
Never.
Ago that all Republicans are racist.
So
they're trying to codify into law and then define racist as anyone that doesn't want to give up their cows or their farm or be a slave. So what they're threatened by is self-sufficient people, because it's a military takeover by the left and by the WHO. And we talked about this when I was on 3 or 4 months ago on your show out of Maine. They are literally understanding we've got the cities, we're about to take the dollar, we're collapsing the border. Who is the opposition? They're already lasing the target that it's the rural people. Remember I said next it's get the rurals, they're the enemy. And now that talking point is everywhere. I probably saw that clip 30 times the last week, 50 times the last month. And then that's their next target, just like when Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin took over just Moscow and a few cities, took them 5 years to take over Russia. Who was the target? The farmers.
The kulaks.
Because they produce the food. And if you get them, now you've got everybody. So they're doing, as you did a few weeks ago with that incredible lady, a Maoist/Stalinist-Lenin playbook, because it works. And so this is happening. This isn't a question. This is going down.
So what's the... I wish I didn't agree with that, but the evidence suggests you're absolutely right.
Well, Tucker signing off. He's hitching his wagon pretty good here, I think. To me, I hear this and I think, like, what happened to all the, like, food plant fire conspiracies? You know, there's so many other things that he's tried to push along these lines that have just, like, kind of like, oh, that didn't have enough gas.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't enough enough momentum there, so we kind of just gave up on that. But we're retaining the overarching umbrella, which is this war on farmers.
Yeah. Now, see, here's where I think that just strategically, it just doesn't make sense to me, right? So if you're the globalists, you get rid of the rural people first. Then when you go after the cities, the people are just going to run into the country. You've just opened up space for them to run.
Well,
doesn't make sense.
But here's the thing. They already have the cities, right? I mean, that's kind of what Alex is saying.
Oh, I forgot that they already have the... But they got to exterminate 90% of the population. They can't have all the cities.
Sure.
You know?
We do know that that is eventually...
Yeah, they're still coming after people in cities.
I just... I guess I tire of the sort of shifting strategy that the globalists are using to kill off everybody. Inevitably, that is the, you know, it's on the Georgia Guidestone, so that is definitely what's happening.
Sure, sure.
Just every kind of, like, whatever the mood is, that's the strategy that they're using, and I've always said that it is.
It would either be there's too many cooks in the kitchen, or one man is whimsical and incapable of impulse control. It's entirely possible it could go either direction.
It's either too many cooks or one really messy cook.
Could be, yeah.
So Tucker, he's wrestling with why do we let in immigrants? What is the point? Which,
I mean, deep, deep question, deep question.
What is the purpose? No one has ever explained the purpose of admitting 10 million foreigners illegally into the country. So we used to hear Chamber of Commerce, the farm lobby would say, we need the labor. No one's saying that now because we don't need the labor. And you hear people say, well, you know, we're doing it because, you know, there's some reason we're doing it. I haven't heard one person, including Joe Biden tonight, explain why have they done this? What is the purpose?
Well, I love how you played Merrick Garland earlier. And he's like, yo, there's all these races. They're trying to keep people from voting. How many cities, how many blue cities let illegals vote? In San Francisco, they put a foreigner, not even a citizen, on
foreigner.
The board of elections in San Francisco.
Yeah, Chinese national.
Absolutely. So yeah, like a Chi-Com. So they're just normalizing this.
So I imagine no matter how many times someone's answered that question for Tucker, no answer would suffice. It's not a sincere question of why would we allow people into the country. But you can see the little sleight of hand that Alex does there. He's asked why we let in immigrants, and he immediately starts talking about cities letting resident non-citizens vote in local elections, which he's mischaracterizing because he doesn't lie. This isn't undocumented immigrants voting, and it's far less widespread a phenomenon than Alex is pretending. He takes that, and then he jumps immediately to the case of Kelly Wong, the Chinese woman who was appointed to the San Francisco Election Board, who Alex calls a Chi-Com. There's no evidence that she's a communist or has any ties to the Chinese government, but he, you know, that's what she is to him, which is telling. If you pay close attention, none of this is actually even related to each other. These points are like A, B, C. It's all over the place, but it all revolves around the idea that Alex and Tucker are actually discussing, which is great replacement conspiracy theories. That is the tone.
Yeah. When was the last time you heard the word foreigner in like a neutral just neutral? I just looking for neutral, and I feel like the last time was in fucking the Stranger, in the fucking French literature. I have to go all the way to French literature, and that book was racist. Do you
okay.
understand?
So maybe it wasn't as neutral as you're thinking. Yeah, this is pretty xenophobic, pretty hard. And it continues down that road. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, Alex has a suggestion in this clip as to what can be done.
Okay.
This is very simple. So Rome took 400 years of bringing in foreign troops to fall. They didn't do it on purpose. But the globalists look at 1984 as fiction, or they look at Rome and they go, which was historical, and they go, that is a blueprint. That is an owner's manual. That is a battle plan. So that's what the Great Reset is. It's accelerating the collapse of Western civilization because you don't want Interround to compete with the globalist model of eat the bugs and enslavement and collapse. So they're actively seeing prosperity and Christian nationalist freedom. God forbid the rest of the world pick up Western culture. So you brand it as racist. You say it's bad. Because it's like kryptonite, you know, to Superman or holy water and high noon to a vampire. If people say, I want my Second Amendment, I want my due process, I want my capitalism, well, then it's over for the Black Rocks and the Googles and the Facebooks. So that's why they're fundamentally branding freedom as a white evil thing, because let's face it, Western civilization did develop from Greece on this incredible thing that could uplift humanity. So you discredit it by making it racial instead of selling it to the world and having everyone adopt it and creating a unification, not through centralization or enslavement, but through adoption because it works so well. And so the globalist tyrants are fundamentally threatened by Western Christian civilization, and that's why they're at war with it, which is why we should embrace it, and that's the great numbers of double the blacks voting for Trump or triple the Hispanics, what we just saw 10 years ago. And that's why they're in full panic mode trying to bring in totally uninformed foreigners from all over who they control and who they can run through NGOs hoping that they'll be the savior. So as negative as all this is, I see this as the panic button being hit.
So what's the right response for normal people in a moment like this?
I think they have to promote your show, which is the number one show in the world. I mean, not just in news, but just in commentary. I mean, it is. You're up there, and Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson, I'm down below that. But I'm really pleased to see you reaching hundreds of millions of people every day. And really, that's not about Tucker Carlson, though it is about you, but that's secondary. It's about people resonating with that, shows they have the instinct and the spirit for victory.
Oh, that false modesty of you're the top show and then Jordan Peterson and I'm below that. Mm. Ugh, that's fun. But yeah, the solution to everything is always promote my brand and promote your brand, which elevates me because
yep.
we're connected now.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then also this just like it's always the panic button. The globals are always pushing the panic button. It's been they're freaking out. It's they're being forced to act.
Yeah.
For the last 25 fucking years on his show.
Yeah.
It's a little bit exhausting.
Yeah, I feel like if I were the globalists, I would want to have won by now.
Mm.
Or lost. Like, either way.
Sure.
Like, because... And I'm going to throw this out at you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thought process, okay? So, in one case, it's Alex's job to always be fighting.
Right.
Right. And in the other case, theoretically, the globalists... want to end the fight.
Right.
So why does it seem as though one of them is the only one who's doing what they want to do?
Well, because the other side maybe is imagining.
That seems like it could be a problem.
The other side is just a sort of a scapegoat and a punching bag.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a way
to attack sort of more progressive social ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, that eternal fight between good and evil. Man, I would prefer short bursts, like a short bout.
You do
like good and evil for like 5-10 minutes.
You bring up like a really funny image, and that is like some version of the globalists that are just like, all right, now our goal is to constantly be fighting with Alex Jones.
I know, right?
Then they're successful as hell.
Yeah, it's the only explanation if they actually exist is it because they're doing exactly what they want to be doing.
We just want to create a way for one drunk idiot in Texas to be rich. That's our nefarious global plan.
Even better. We want to make someone absurd. Mm. We want to make somebody who's both insane because they believe things that are true that no one can possibly believe because there's no way we exist,
mm-hmm.
right? So we've driven him insane, but we've also made him wealthy, which makes him even more insane, which makes him a danger to all of everybody, which is a better plan than whatever plan they've had so far.
Now, we will carry this out starting at the beginning of history on behalf of Satan.
Yep.
And it'll...
We're
going to have to hit the panic button about 100 million times.
Here's what happened.
Along the way.
Here's what happened. Okay, Romulus looked over at Remus and was like, man, we're going to have too many foreign soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to start thinking now.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a little silly.
Makes sense.
So you got to rally with Alex.
Sure.
Alex, all good people need to watch the shows that are cool.
Yep.
And when you just sit back and go... wait, this can't be real. Klaus Schwab is promoting stuff that sounds like Hellraiser. Well, so was Hitler, so was Stalin. And we realize that this is an evil manifestation that crops up in our species of bad people who want power. The problem is good people don't seek power because we want to be left alone, hang out with our families, go fish, go hunt, go to dinner, go play golf. I'm the same way. But I'm sorry, folks. Good people can't sit there and say, I'm too good for this, because we will be destroyed if we don't. And that's what evil fears. So the good men and women are now standing up, and we're super popular. Every popular talk shows, there's no one. Even Bill Maher poses as a conservative now, and I hope he comes all the way over a populist. There's
no one
promoting the New World Order. So I'm saying... look at the positiveness of how humans desire, and like a man in the desert wants water, freedom.
Yes.
And all we're doing is promoting the natural programming that works. And so it's easy. We're the winners. We're the victors. We're not the cancer. We're following the program God gave us that is like oxygen. And we have to just declare the enemy cancer and just say we're done. Shun them. Don't engage in violence. They want that. And just give them no support and then maximum back the truth, and we will win.
As I listen to you talk, I'm like, why is Alex Jones getting canceled? Well, you haven't been canceled.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, he hasn't been. I think that, you know, there's such a obsession with our shows are popular, and then it's compared to a non-existent thing, which is this imagining that there would be a Joe Rogan type who was like, hey, you know, it's great, one world government.
Yeah.
Like imagining that is something that he's in competition with is fun.
Yeah.
Now, I think with Bill Maher, in order for him to become a quote-unquote patriot,
sure,
based on everything that Alex has said, like, Alex for years was like, everything that comes out of his mouth is the New World Order scripting.
Uh-huh.
He's the mouthpiece of the New World Order.
Yep.
So in order for him to really become a quote-unquote patriot, he would need to come out and say, for years they fed me my scripts and all that. Like, he would have to have that far of a swing,
yeah,
as opposed to him just being kind of the same kind of dick he's always been. A little bit racist, right, a little bit xenophobic.
I think the problem here, right, is that when you've made Bill Maher so evil, he can never come back.
Well, he can, but it has to be so far.
No, but you understand. Here's the thing. If he can come back after being so evil, then anyone can come back. So you have no cockroach enemies. You have no dehumanized enemies. You have people that you just haven't convinced enough yet.
Sure.
So now you're telling me that anybody could be saved.
Well, yeah, but I think that Alex would say that. I think that is true, because I think that they're profoundly obsessed with the idea of their enemies coming over to their side.
Right.
Like, if you read his book, if you read the Great Reset book, or maybe it was the second one, I'm not sure.
Sure.
But there's like an obsession with parsing some of Yuval Noah Harari's words to be like, I sense regret in him.
Oh my God.
And even the furthest gone can renounce their ways. And I hear like lingering doubt that the globalism is the way to go, because that is the, you know, the it's a distortion of the idea of like the prodigal son.
Sure. No. I understand. But it's like, you can't call people the devil. The devil doesn't come over to your side.
But what if he does?
No! That's the point of the story!
But that's a big win.
Oh, it's not a win, because if he does come over to his... Okay, I'm gonna try and dig into the story with you, okay?
Uh-huh.
If he does come over to your side...
Right.
The main thing about him to know is that he lies to you in order to bring you over to his side. So when he comes to your side, he's not going to stay there.
So you think Bill Maher's trying to pull a fast one on Alex?
I mean, anybody could be.
Sure. So Alex is nonviolent. You heard that there. He said that the globalists want you to be violent.
That they're tricky like that.
Yes. And so he's, you know, just that's what he's about. He's about nonviolence.
He's about that.
You think that as things get more intense, which they will, the people in charge desire violence. They're trying to provoke a violent
war. Absolutely. They can't win in a peaceful fight.
But you said, contrary to what they say about you, you've said, no, remain peaceful, period.
Absolutely. I mean, what they do is, anytime you're watching corporate establishment enemy media, you'll see a three-second clip. That's not, folks, you're being deceived when you see that. So I'll say, like, this is satire. It's The Modest Proposal by the famous Irish essayist and satirist, Swift, that if the world collapses, I'll eat my neighbors. This is a joke. But I go, collapse of the world leads to that. They go, look, he just said I'll eat my neighbors. They're deceiving. It's like that refrigerator game where you have all the little words. You can move the words around and say whatever you want.
Yes.
They basically take our words, move them around, and that's a deception. But when you look at what they're saying, conservatives and populists and Christians are going to kill people, and they're going to murder people, and Trump is going to be a dictator, and he's planning to, you know, enslave everybody. But meanwhile, they're the ones taking him off the ballot. They're the ones indicting him. They're the ones saying, I mean, the Atlantic Monthly, that's the mouthpiece of Sauron, the mouth of Satan, came out 2 weeks ago and said, the headline was something like, even if Trump wins, we're just going to block him. Well, all Trump did was say, I want a 10-day investigation, which is constitutional. They said, they were honest. They said, even if he wins, we'll just decertify him. So they've basically indicted him in Georgia for saying, let's investigate. They're openly saying, we're going to disqualify him, and then it's okay. So again, there's a murder of logic.
This guy doesn't lie. This guy checks himself constantly and does not lie, does not make things up about headlines, doesn't misrepresent things at all. So I think when people are concerned about Alex being violent, they're not talking about him saying he's going to eat his neighbors. People were laughing at him about that. That was joking and making fun of how He lost his shit and was screaming nonsense about eating leftist asses and stuff. And that he understands that. He knows that that was really good for him.
Yeah.
That played into a great driver of attention.
Always a delight.
I think people are a lot more concerned about some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like his intense violence.
Also, it's I understand, but I mean, I understand that what he means is he wasn't being serious when he says it was satire.
Right.
But he was being serious. He said that if society collapses, you will have to eat people, and therefore I will eat my neighbors.
Yes.
He was not. There was no facetiousness involved.
No.
There was
Jonathan
no,
Swift was satire.
Yeah, because
he was not.
Because he wasn't actually saying we should eat.
No. He was being dramatic, and he had a flair for performance.
Mm-hmm.
But he was.
The
serious.
Core concept of what he was saying was a deliberate...
He believes that within days, everyone's accountable.
Less than 10.
And so he will...
Less than 10.
...certainly eat your name. Eat you.
He was arguing that.
Yes.
Strongly.
Yes.
He was not satirically arguing that.
It was not an empty threat.
No.
No. So, obviously, the globalists want violence. But Alex isn't violent.
No.
And his friends are not violent.
Sure.
And, you know, I think history has borne that out. They're pacifists. So anyway, there's going to be false flags.
That sounds
They're
right.
They're saying, Trump is going to engage in terror, and there's white supremacists everywhere. So I think you can do 2 + 2 = 4. We know false flags are real. Provocateurs are real. We know they tried to stage the kidnapping of Governor Whitmer and multiple trials. People got released. They finally got the third trial, sent a few to prison, where you've got a bunch of marijuana. You've covered it detailed. A bunch of potheads, friendly little guys.
Friendly little guys.
And then they tell them, we'll give you $10,000 a month if you just meet with us and just say you'll kidnap Whitmer. So you're going to see a lot more of that. And I just we need to disavow that because that doesn't fix it. We're winning the culture war, so they want to induce us into violence. And they've said they're introducing legislation, the Democratic Party in the House and Senate, to strip Trump of the Insurrection Act, which George Herbert Walker Bush used during the L.A. riots. And they're saying, we know when he gets elected, if he does, there's going to be huge uprisings, and he's a white supremacist, so we've got to drive him from office that way. So they're planning to torch the country when he's president-elect, before he's in, and try to intimidate everyone. So Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all of this Hezbollah-Hamas protests, and again, I'm not for the war. I don't like how far Israel's gone. But they're invoking that and hyping that up now as their third rail or their fifth column is the Islamicist to then burn the country down within weeks of him being president-elect, and thinking they can terrorize the American people and the establishment into removing Trump somehow during that period. They've already pre-announced that. So I'm telling you now, 8 months out, that's their plan.
8 months out, this is what I'm going to say when there are protests about if Trump wins. That's basically, I am going to say that all of this is Hezbollah sleeper cell protests.
That is a plan.
Sure. And I mean, I think I don't know how serious anything is about stripping Trump of the Insurrection Act or anything like that.
Yeah,
but I will say that he did say he was going to be a dictator. He wants to be a dictator for a day.
Sure.
So maybe that's not the worst idea ever.
Mm.
But I mean, I guess you can't really play that game. If you allow someone to be president, you kind of have to let them have the powers.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, turns out you shouldn't have given them all that power.
Maybe.
Here's my pitch. All right. Here's my pitch to all people writing laws.
Mm.
All right. When you write a law, you should also think about what would happen when the assholes change their minds.
Sure.
Right? So when you write that, marijuana is a legal law, you should also have written in that clause, but when those assholes say it's legal, then everybody's free again. You can't be like, hey, they're just potheads, and have people still spending life in prison for smoking weed, right?
No.
Like that, you can't do that. You can't. You can have one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
It's a bad law writing practice to not think of when those assholes are going to change their minds.
Yep. And I loathe the way that Alex presents here this stuff about Palestinians and Gaza.
Mm.
The Israel's I don't like how far they've gone. His whole take on things is giving lip service to the like they've gone Israel's not good. But also, I don't want them here. any kind of like protest in support of Palestinian rights, anything like that, is Hezbollah Hamas protests.
Yeah.
And so he just, I don't know, his take is not good.
Yeah.
So there's a question of all of this, all of the money is on the side against the Patriots, all the Black Rocks and, you know, State Street Vanguard.
Is it?
I don't know, according to them.
Ugh.
So how do we deal with this?
I mean, I would be encouraged if it was. I would feel a lot better if it was.
Well, Alex has Alex has an answer to this.
Yes.
You mentioned The Atlantic, which is owned by a tech oligarch, Steve Jobs' widow. Mm. And almost everything bad in the country is financed by the richest people in the country, I've noticed, the oligarchs. And so all the money is kind of arrayed against the population of the country. That worries me. Can you throw off the yoke if the yoke has, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars?
I think we are, thanks to Elon Musk. I mean, you can say you are Elon Musk with all his past activities. He's trying to dominate every technological sector. But Christ said, judge a tree by its fruits.
Yes.
And the last 2 years, let's say it's a 360, like right here is New World Order, and right here is Total Patriot. Musk was already over here. He wasn't a bad guy, but he wasn't perfect. He's moved basically a 180.
Yeah.
So he's like Alec. I mean, look, you're the biggest guy in media.
No,
you know, no, it's true. Let's go. It's not about bragging. It's true. You're the biggest mainline, you know, talk show host. Well, I say mainline professional show. Okay, and there's a lot of people under you like me. Elon Musk is way bigger than both of us. He's reaching 100 million, 200 million people a day with stuff you would say, or I would say, he's devastating them. You don't do that if you're with him. So Elon Musk is definitely for real, because you can't argue with the results.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's just the way the universe works.
This is being powered by X right now, I should just say.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, and he's not censoring us.
No.
In fact, he's boosting us. So, probably.
Probably. Oh, that's interesting. That's weird. That's that's so weird that you guys are on a platform that's powered by Twitter and you're bootlicking a little bit here. Isn't Alex supposed to be mad at Elon for shadow banning him and not what's happening?
I don't know. I just don't know.
It's a little bit silly to have these people who are, you know, Tucker releases his show on Twitter. This is the Elon Musk network.
It is. It really is. It really is designed just to just giving him a good old handy whenever he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The only hope for conspiracy theorists at this point is David Icke. He's the only person who has the correct position, and they're going to regret not jumping on with him.
I mean, listen, I feel like this should not be a difficult argument to have and then end quickly. You know, this should be a quick one, right? Is it possible to throw off the yoke of billionaires? Well, I think it is because of Elon Musk. Wrong.
Yes.
The end.
Yeah.
The end of conversation. Wrong.
We have a shithead billionaire who likes to post memes he bought a social media site.
You have misunderstood the brief so far.
Is it possible to shake off the yoke of all of this oligarchical concentration of money? Yes.
By licking an oligarch's boots.
Or taxing them. Reorganizing society so that collection of wealth is not possible.
Probably a good idea.
No.
I think we should just have one billionaire and then have a king.
Mm.
And then the two of them can run a country together.
Right. We can have that king who has all kinds of absolute power.
Yeah.
And throws people out of the country because they're immigrants and we don't need that. And then we have this jester billionaire who posts shithead racist memes.
You know,
it's a good setup.
I understand a lot of people don't like the direction this place is going, by which I mean the country or whatever. But, man, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Messy.
It is not going to be boring.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up.
That's a good point.
Because the next question that Tucker asks is, where are we going to be in 5 years?
Interesting.
So you're pretty famous, not famous enough for seeing events in some detail ahead of time. You're the only person, I think, in the world.
Bill Cooper.
Who called 9/11 in detail. You're on tape doing it. They're going to fly planes in the World Trade Centers and blame Bin Laden. That's what you said. I played the tape.
Edited.
So, given your demonstrated ability to get a pretty clear sight picture of the future, where do you think we are in 5 years?
We're either in heaven or hell. It's the best of times or worst of times. Tell us. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Tell us.
We are in the crossroads right now. We're going across the 0.0 return, and we have maximum effort to expose the evil and be honest ourselves about the problems we have and really try to empower people and reach out across political lines and really turn things around.
But not to the left.
We have unlimited potential. But I would have to say, if you look into the future, and it's not like into a crystal ball, it's just all the political lines, all the data. It's a very, I wouldn't say a probability, but near probability nuclear war. And I have four children. One of them is 6 years old. I have nightmares about this because I know this is real.
I agree with you.
I don't say this for like fear porn. I mean, I mainline analyst, the atomic, you know, scientist group says we're 2 minutes to midnight. It's the closest ever been, or like think like a minute to midnight. And so we have to turn this around because we are entering the system where we're entering the house of destruction, and we're so close. So the Chinese proverb of live in interesting times is both positive and negative. We're in very interesting times, the most interesting probably ever in human history. We have like godlike power, but we're actually decadent slobs, myself included. And so really it's all up to us right now. We are at that point of decision, and if we can get past the partisanship, but that doesn't mean then embrace the globalists and the corporate fascists. No, reject them, and as populists, Christians, conservatives, Hindus, Jews, Christians, Muslims, reject BlackRock, reject Klaus Schwab, reject Naval Noah Harari, who says the future's not human and we're obsolete and robots will run our lives in a decade. No, we humans are the only species that truly controls its environment. So he wants us just to decide we're animals and we're just receiving information. No, we're going to decide a pro-human future.
Okay, so where are we going to be in 5 years?
In heaven or hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, I love the way that this question is set up, which is, Tucker, is like, you have prophetic powers with precision.
Yep.
You have specific details that you see in the future.
Called 9/11.
To a T.
By bin Laden, even. Not just 9/11, but that it would be bin Laden.
But it would be blamed on bin Laden.
Yeah.
So we have this, like, you have laser sharp detail focus.
Sure.
Where are we in 5 years?
Broad strokes?
Could be in anything. could be the best of times, could be the worst of times. Thank you for fulfilling exactly what I asked you to do.
If I understand correctly, you can see into the future, and your future, your possible future is it could be from anything to as far away as anything else.
It could be the best or the worst.
Right.
But also nukes.
Could it also just be the same?
No. Well, I guess that's within
could
the
be
spectrum.
The extreme same, though. Like the most the same.
It's
like stasis. Like nobody even takes a step in 5 years. What if we're all in exactly the same spot in 5 years? Now that's a fucking prediction.
But that would be heaven for Alex. Except, well, I mean, I guess the lawsuits and all that stuff,
sure,
probably not that great.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The you know, things staying the same is pretty good for him.
Sure. Yeah, that is pretty good for him.
So the other thing that I find, first, I mean, just that's shit in terms of the question being asked dodging it to an extreme.
Could be good, could be bad, could be normal, anything.
This idea of reaching across the aisle is a little silly.
Gotta reach across the aisle.
This is a little bit silly.
It's about reaching across the aisle and getting to consensus.
Sure.
Yeah.
Except the other side's the devil.
Well, I mean, once we kill the other side, then the other side will be us, and then we'll have consensus.
Sure. I mean, I guess we have heard this as something that's been promoted by Alex in the past.
Sure.
The idea of banning the left and then having two parties on the right that are that maybe we can have a consensus between. Maybe we disagree on some of the little details, but we, you know,
I mean,
ban the left.
Ultimately, it's fun because it is kind of like a weird, almost like just darker version of what we have now, you know, where it's like, aha, how dare you ask for a progressive tax? No taxes, but we have to pay for some roads. No roads. What are you talking about, man? This is how we vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's just sort of arch libertarian,
right? But like what's the closest you can get to a stable country that only has people who are like 5% flat tax and 0% tax? Nobody who's like, let's have anything reasonable. Nothing. Mm. Just flat tax or no tax.
And that's only considering issues that relate to tax.
Totally. Just taxes. Yeah.
You
just
bring in
just
any kind of like how things run.
The fucking Protestant Reformation that would go
screwed
on every 5 seconds would be insane.
Totally screwed.
Yeah.
So there's only one real guide stick that you can use.
Sure.
And some might say Alex should think it's go with what the Bible says. You know, he's certainly a man who's
disagree.
Pious.
I disagree. I don't think he believes that.
Well,
the Bible
parts.
Is a very difficult book.
He likes one book in it at least. Mm. It's the last one.
Yeah.
But instead of that, the way you should live your life is see what Disney asks you to do and do the opposite. Apparently, that's how you live.
Wow.
It's real simple. You can that's study insightful. All day like I do and like Tucker does, and you can know all the nuances and fight it all day, which I want you to do because it's fascinating. Or you can just say, whatever Disney and whatever Viacom and whatever CNN tells me, I do the opposite. You'll do quite well doing that.
I should say, not to be dark, but human beings, among other unique qualities, are also the only species that commit suicide.
You're right. Well, exactly. We have that paradox because we control our environment.
Why
what
say
animal
this?
Would think to commit suicide?
Right.
I mean, lemmings run off a cliff on accident. Buffalo do it, but they don't do it on purpose. Very well said. Exactly. So we have that heaven and hell. We have that potential of the little g God. We have what science fiction writers like Jules Verne's 140 years ago wrote about, like rockets that take off, go to the moon, and come back and land again. Elon Musk has done it. Whatever we can envision, it's not like Oprah's Secret where it instantly happens, but with the potential of technology and society, and like Elon says, a big enough population, you need billions to build infrastructures that can do anything. And then once you realize the planet's tiny and there's hundreds of billions of galaxies that are close, I mean, we can see, then you go, oh, my God, we're like embryonic right now. We're like a tadpole. And we're not just like, can we turn into a frog? We're turned into a butterfly that turns into a spaceship that turns into a god.
Whoa. So do the opposite of what CNN and Viacom and Disney tells you, but you should also do what Elon Musk tells you to do because he's going to take us to the stars where we become God.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Pretty deeply into Elon, that's for sure.
I mean, you know, the reason we haven't gone back to the moon too much is just there's really not much to do up there.
Sure.
There's really not much going on.
It's
and the amount of technological advancement and money and investment into building a rocket that can leave Earth, land on the moon, and then come back that couldn't be better put to use doing anything else.
Sure. And the ability to go to like anything other than the moon isn't quite there yet.
No.
So Elon wants to take us to the stars.
Sure.
Elon wants to make us God, basically, I think.
Mm.
If you parse through some of what Alex is saying.
Whatever.
Wants to turn us into a butterfly.
I don't even want to bother.
Turns into a spaceship.
I don't even want to bother with that.
All right. But the globalists, they want to go the other direction. They want to steal our God essence.
Sounds good.
And they're trying to tell us, no, you're scum, you're ugly, you're racist, kill each other, because the globalists want to extract out of us that essence of infinity that God's given us, that God essence. We're not God, but we're little g, that the first book of the Bible tells us. They want to extract that and use that for their life extension, their empowerment, their greedy control, instead of all of us sharing this incredible magic metamorphosis we're about to have. And they're trying to block the birth pains of what we're about to become, but I can tell them, you're going to fail.
I mean,
amazing.
When they go after the interesting people, that's when you know you're in trouble. I always think that about what they did to you. Alex Jones, you've greatly improved and enlivened this. Thank you.
Tucker, thanks for having me.
Your wisdom. Are you kidding?
I'm at Infowars.com right now, and we're very close to being shut down. But just like Tucker, it's going to be okay. But it's like they say in Empire Strikes Back, Imperial troops fed the base at Infowars, so I'm about to get taken out, but it's okay. I love you.
The best.
The best.
You know,
that's a different tone that he strikes on his show.
I think the moment you're like, oh, when they come for the interesting people, I would be like, I know when I'm being insulted. Okay, I know. I'm not dumb.
Uh-huh.
I know when the words you say are mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Alex is like, I know. That would be terrible if they came for the, you're being mean to me.
Yeah. I'm so interesting they had to come after me.
Insane.
But I think that Alex probably, that feeds into his self-perception.
Oh, of course.
So, of course. Yeah,
he doesn't realize that he should be like grabbing Tucker and giving him a wedgie right now for insulting him in a way he can't understand.
But that, I think, is maybe a misreading on our part. Maybe he really does think that Alex is so interesting and insightful. Like, there is a possibility that we have to wrestle with that Tucker just is that guy. that maybe he isn't being like the weaseliest person ever. Maybe he he does agree with Alex. Maybe he does think that he's super interesting. Maybe Alex's shit talk about, like, privately Tucker tells him that a demon threw him on the ceiling. Maybe that's true.
It's possible. I'm going to meet you on the it's possible, but I will
I'm not
say
it's
that
the case.
I will say that those the power of these people is their ability to make you question anything.
True.
Literally anything. And maybe it's better this way. I don't care if he's actually this guy or a weasel. Same response. Wedgie!
Sure. No, I think that that's sensible.
Yes, Wedgie is sensible.
Well, because it comes back to that, like, Alex saying that he doesn't lie.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter if you're lying.
Doesn't matter.
You are lying, but it doesn't matter.
That's what you're doing. You're making it not matter.
Right.
Which is like, the secret code. Everybody, so meant for all of us, it matters when we lie.
Yeah.
For them, it does not.
No, and what does matter is what is behind it, what you're pushing, what the, you know, that really is more consequential than your nonsense about, I check myself, if I lie once in a week, I'm terrified about it.
Right.
Get bent. I don't care. That's not important. But it's the same thing with Tucker. Does he actually, like, believe this nonsense that Alex is saying? Does he actually think he's one of the most insightful people, or is he buddying up to him for strategic reasons and trying to poach him over to his network?
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't matter. The reality is that he's promoting Alex.
Yeah.
He's whitewashing him, and he's selling him to an audience in a way as to push him as a sensible person.
As an amazing person who knows everything.
And who has prophetic gifts.
Future.
Yeah. And so the you know, whether he buys it or not, the damage is the same.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I don't know, maybe that's the dark takeaway that that I have of this.
I think it is so difficult because, like, you know, for us, we are so in this, right? So it's easy. It's a lot easier. But I think for a regular person, you know, like, I think of my ma. If she lies about just, like, I can't make it to this thing because of blah, she feels, she has a genuine bad feeling of, like, I did wrong. And so the idea for her of a person who not only doesn't experience that, but could lie on the, like, let's get millions of people killed level and not feel bad, has to be beyond her ken. You know, like, that's insane. That I, and or at the very least, like, obviously she can understand that in the abstract, but at the very least, in, like, the practical application of it every day, of course you're going to believe people more than not, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't live like that. Like, those people exist.
Sure.
But they do, and they run everything. You know? Like, they're Alex. They're on your radio. What are you worried? How do we do it?
And they are the people who are most prone to be very aggressive about how they're
totally. Not that. Totally. Yeah, totally. So they're more convincing because they're lying to you and they don't feel bad about it.
So, the State of the Union response, you got to dig deep.
Was that what
you got to choose a guest and you get Alex Jones and then this is what happens. He'll just hold court.
Was the State of the Union? Is it okay?
It's been better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it should be a lot shorter speech.
Yeah.
Not good, folks.
Hey, how's it going?
End of speech.
Shit's bad, Jack.
Shit's not going great. We're working on it. Yeah. We are working on it.
I don't feel like this was much of a State of the Union response, but it was what you'd get when you invite Alex in, which is pontificating about nonsense, a lot of white fear, a lot of rambling, and then eventually you get to the stars.
Yeah.
So it was what it was.
It did used to feel, and maybe it's my memory, maybe I'm remembering things incorrectly, but it did feel like during the Obama years, the response to the State of the Union was generally, and not always, that was the beginning, I think, of when it stopped being a response to the State of the Union and just like a crazy person going, blah, 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 evil, you know, like. But I do remember there used to be like, here is what the president said in this part of the speech. I have a rebuttal to that, right? Mm. Did that happen or was I crazy?
I think it might have, although we're talking about a completely different genre of thing.
Sure,
this isn't like the Congress.
Right, right. Response. But I mean, that lady was as
I saw unhooked. I saw some tweets.
Yeah, she was she was unhooked as Alex.
Shit was bad.
Yeah. The State of the Union.
Shit's bad.
It was a good State of the Union address. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when you bring in Alex to do this,
sure,
you're not looking for that.
No, you've guaranteed you're not getting that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that even in the Bush years, you would have gotten the same thing from Alex.
For sure.
If you were.
For sure.
So I don't know if the times have changed that much as it relates to Tucker having Alex on to do this.
Good point.
Anyway, still waiting for Owen to be on. I guess he's going to be on Tucker at some point.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. So, a lot of second stringers going on, Tucker.
Sure. Sure. We got Putin.
Yep.
Alex coming back. Then we'll get
then
right
we'll
around.
Get Owen.
Yeah. So we'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Blue Sky.
We are on Blue Sky. It's Knowledge Fight.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, Neo, Leo, DZX, Clark, doop, 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 doop.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.